V-minus 21. GCC headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Seconds after stepping into Timo's private jet for their flight back to Colorado, Dan and Emma were surprised to see footage of William Godfrey standing before a large gathering in his GCC building's media room. A text message arrived on Emma's phone from none other than President Slater. "I haven't spoken to him. He didn't tell me he was doing this." Emma's sigh said it all, but she tilted her phone's screen towards Dan so he could see for himself. "I am shocked and appalled by recent events in Beijing," Chairman Godfrey began. "What should be a momentous discovery has been turned into a point-scoring exercise by a communist dictator with no regard for anything but political gain. The analysis of these triangles should have been conducted by a comprehensive international team. But what we have seen is the very opposite. The underpinning issue here is one of arrogance and exceptionalism of a kind the United States is so often accused of. But if you cast your mind back to the IDA leak, you'll remember that President Slater humbly threw her weight behind the international effort. Ding Ziyong, on the other hand, has been exclusionary and triumphalist from the moment the first triangle was discovered in Zanzibar. Returning to the IDA leak, one particular element of the hoaxed confession of Hans Kloster sadly comes to my mind. We now know none of it was true, of course, but we all remember Kloster's claim that the Nazi hierarchy believed the four alien spheres he spoke of had been bestowed upon the party rather than upon humanity as a whole. None had been dropped in hostile communist lands, as the letter put it, just as none of these triangles have been found outside of ELF territory. The parallels are stark, and Ding Ziyang's dangerous exceptionalism knows no bounds. I don't mean to suggest that these triangles, like the spheres, are not truly extraterrestrial, but right now, whether they are taunting us with a fabricated hoax, or whether they are about to complete a three-piece alien puzzle without allowing the rest of the world to analyze the triangles and the potential effects of their physical reunion, this flagrant move by the ELF is an act of international aggression which I will not take lightly. Along with the leaders of our member states, I am already appalled by the treatment of Western media personnel in Beijing. This room right now contains reporters from both sides of the Chinese-built divide between ELF and GCC states, and I would have it no other way. Our world, after all, is one world. No one wants to see any further escalation, and the door to cooperation is not locked on our side. But with that said, the message I wish to send to its citizens is a simple one. If tomorrow's event goes ahead, Ding Ziyong and Ding Ziyong alone will be wholly to blame for whatever happens next. Dozens of questions were fired at Godfrey from all angles of his media room, but he ignored every last one and walked away with the calmest expression he could muster. With the speech over, Dan sighed and reclined in his seat. "Do you think we should tell him what we know about Jack?" he asked, waiting for the plane to take off. "I don't know how it would help, but I feel like maybe we should, and especially about the triangles being real, because he's still talking about it maybe being a hoax, but we know that neither Cole or Poppy is in on it, so it can't be." Emma breathed deeply. "He's said it now, so we can't undo that. I told Slater so that she would have the option of telling him if she really thought it was necessary, like if he was going to do something else dangerous that he wouldn't have done if he knew this. We haven't kept this to ourselves, Dan. We've just been careful who we've told. Slater knows, so it's on her, too."
"But what are we going to do about Jack?"
"Find a way to get him to sit down with you, like I said to Slater," Emma replied. "Speaking of that stuff, does your head feel okay now? Do you want to try it on me?"
Dan shook his head. "It hurt even when I was only listening to Poppy's thoughts. I guess the one good thing about this triangle turning up when it did is that no one is talking about that sudden spasm and yelp I let out, huh?"
"I guess," Emma said, chuckling slightly before her serious expression returned. "But if Ding really is going to join the triangles tomorrow morning, and if they really are as real as we think, I think whatever does or doesn't happen could totally change our next move. So even if Jack is still in Colorado, I don't think we should try to make contact until tomorrow afternoon."
Dan gazed out of the window as the plane began to taxi, his mind suddenly focused in far deeper thought than before.
"What's on your mind?"
Emma asked, noticing the sudden change in his demeanor. The messengers? He replied without a heartbeat's hesitation. You're talking about making contact. I'm wondering where the hell they are. They said they could talk to me from afar if they had to, even without their elders letting them fly here. If they're watching, they must see the storm that's building, right? So why aren't they talking to me? Emma upturned her palms, openly out of answers. Maybe they'll talk to you tonight, when you're dreaming, she said. The words were mainly spoken in the hope of calming Dan's mind, rather than in expectation of being correct, and it looked for all the world like Dan's expectations were just as low. Yeah, he said, forcing the words out in a passably optimistic tone, but saving the second part of the thought for himself. Fat chance.